The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
Again, we welcome you. Again, I'm Ricky Scapparo, the founder, the pastor, and the voice of End Time Headlines. And at this time, we welcome all of our podcast audience and our YouTube audience as well. Today, this is an interesting topic today. Are we witnessing the soon rise of the Black Horse and Rider? This is kind of a continuation, honestly, of a message we did last week when we talked about, are we on the verge of another global famine? So this kind of, if you didn't see that, I would like to encourage you to go back and watch that and to kind of give you a little bit of a foundation for even more so of the messages we're getting into today. So today is a prophetic viewpoint segment. And again, if you're just hopping on here, we're going to be dealing with, are we witnessing the rise of the Black Horse and Rider? Obviously, we're speaking in reference to Revelation chapter 6. And let me give you that scripture here. I'm going to read this from the King James Version. Again, right there on your screen, Revelation chapter 6. I'll pull this scripture up here. Revelation chapter 6. Verses 5 and 6. I want to read this from two different translations today. I want to read from the King James, and then I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. And you say, why are you going to do that? Because it kind of pulls out some stuff, a little bit more clarity on this. All right, so this is John the Revelator, obviously, who foresaw this event that would take place in the future. I want to preface this by saying, I do not believe that we are in the tribulation right now, but I do believe that we're knocking on the door of it. I believe we're in strong birth pangs of the Messiah. And this is why I'm saying, are we witnessing the soon rise of this Black Horse and Rider? I believe there's four horsemen of the apocalypse, and I believe that we are very on the very brink of this. Revelation 6, and when he had opened the third seal, there was a series of seals that were opened that John the Revelator saw. And you can go back and read that in Revelation 6. He sees things happen on the first seal. He sees the second seal. Then we get down here to the third seal. He said, when this seal was opened, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on the horse had a pair of balances in his hand. Some translations say scales. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, quote, a measure of wheat for a penny and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. I'm going to read the same exact passage of scripture from the New Living Translation. When the Lamb broke the third seal, I heard the living being say, come. I looked up and saw a black horse, and its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice from among the four living beings say, quote, listen to this. This really brings this out. A loaf of wheat bread or three loaves of barley will cost a day's pay. And don't waste the olive oil and wine. So in my opinion, I'm going to pull this back here. In my opinion, I believe this is referencing famine. It's referencing pestilence, plagues. All these things are happening, and it's causing massive inflation. Now, by definition of Webster's, inflation says this, quote, a continuing rise in the general price level, usually attributed to an increase in the volume of money and credit relative to available goods and services. Let me read that one more time. By definition, inflation is the continual rise in the general price level, usually attributed to an increase in the volume of money and credit relative to available goods and services. Guys, if you keep up with what's going on around the world, I don't have to stress to you, and I don't have to beat you over the head to convince you that we are seeing massive inflation happening. In fact, let me talk about the cost of wood. The cost of wood is unprecedented. Never in the history of record keeping has wood, the price of wood, the price of lumber, been as high as it is right now. In fact, when I was at lunch today, I was kind of skimming over some news and skimming over some articles, and I saw a piece by the Wall Street Journal that said that lumber has even reached a higher percentage. And the future indexes on this, and what that basically means is like it's basically forecasting future trading on lumber. There's future forecasting on everything, but if you go and look up the future forecast of lumber, I mean, there's a graph, and it shows this graph going up and up and up and through the roof. Now, obviously, anybody that's in carpentry, anybody that's in home sales, anything like that, you know automatically that you're going to see massive inflation in home sales, furniture sales, building, construction, remodeling, and the list goes on. In fact, let me just tell you from a personal level, I've seen this firsthand because as many of you know, my family and I, we had a house built back. It was contracted back in July of last year. And we've been waiting this process out till it gets done. And listen, we had the builder, we had the realtor, we had all these individuals come to us, the broker, and said that you guys literally, if you guys would have waited 1 month longer to have your house built, the cost that you had contracted for the house and the square footage and so on and so forth, it would have been 30 to 40% higher than what you built it for. So, and I saw this firsthand because, and by the way, our house is finally done. And this Thursday, 3 days from now, 72 hours, not that anybody's counting, right? I cannot tell you how stoked I am about finally getting into our own home, but it's finally done. Now listen, when we got the appraisal for our home, we saw firsthand the percentage that it appraised for was 30 to 40% higher than what we contracted the house for. Think about that. So now what does that mean? That means if you are going out, if you're in the market to look for a house and you're going to go buy a house, you're going to, for a house that you normally would pay $300,000 for, you're going to pay $370,000 to $400,000. It's insanity. There was a piece by Michael Snyder, which we share many of his articles continually here on End Time Headlines because he does great research on this stuff and puts it all together. He talks about the skyrocketing prices. Plywood has suddenly become such a hot topic that one post on Facebook that circulated quite widely ended up getting national attention. And it talked about, listen to this. In March, this is 3/4 inch plywood standard. March 2020, $37.98 a sheet. February 2021, it skyrocketed to $72.49 a sheet. And then 1 month later, March of 2021, it went from $72.49 a sheet to $83.49 a sheet. And then last month, 30 more days, April 2021, it went from $83.49 a sheet to $95.98 a sheet. That is 252% price increase on one of the most used pieces of common lumber for construction. This is insane, guys. Sean Church, who is the editor of Random Links, which publishes price data on the wood producers industry, the wood products industry, gave us figures for 23 32-inch plywood produced in the Pacific Northwest on the South. The price in the Northwest was in April was $1,610 per 1,000 square feet, which is 287% up from $560 a year earlier. In the South, the price of that panel was $1,500 per 1,000 square feet, which is a jump of 230% from $455 one year ago. So again, this is incredible. This is unprecedented. But guys, it's not just lumber. Again, you've heard me talk about this. Look, today, my two boys went to lunch today, and we were going to go to a Chili's, which is right down the road from where we live. We got there. It's just three of us. We walk into the restaurant, and the hostess meets us at the restaurant and asks us if we're willing to wait an hour. It would be an hour wait. And I said, there's three of us. And she said, yes, that's correct. There is three of you, but we only have one cook and one server for the whole restaurant. And guys, this is, I don't know, maybe this is not happening where you live, but I'm telling you, here in the state of Georgia and the cities and the proximity of where we live, I couldn't tell you how many places we've gone to eat or gone places, different, whatever. And they can't find help. There's no staff. No one wants to work. They're begging people to work. I talked to one guy who said that he was willing to offer his employees exceptional health benefits. I mean, he was laying all of it out there and still couldn't find work. So now let me move on. I want to show you some more stuff. So again, this is hitting every industry, not just lumber, not just food, not just retail. Let me give you even the grocery chains. They're telling us, according to a new report from Bloomberg, the U.S. is now running low on poultry. And it has raised concerns not just for chicken, but for a shortage of poultry altogether. One restaurant franchise, Bojangles, just recently posted a recent tweet about their chicken tenders, quote, and said, we're experiencing a system-wide shortage. According to the report, fast food executives around the nation are reporting that they are struggling to stock enough chicken nuggets, tenders, wings, patties, all shapes and all sizes to keep pace with the demand. Quote, demand for the new sandwich has been so strong that coupled with general tightening in domestic chicken supplies, our main challenge has been keeping up with that demand. This was according to a CEO of Yum Brands, which that's, if you don't know who that is, that's KFC. The chairman and CEO of Wingstop, Charles Morrison, said this week that, quote, suppliers are struggling just as many in our industry are to hire people to process chicken. Again, goes back to what? A shortage of workers. Thus placing unexpected pressure on the number of birds that can be processed and negatively affecting the supply of all parts of the chicken, all parts of chicken and poultry in the U.S. Let me give you another article here. And this one's even more disturbing than that. Quote, a new report is now warning us that we could, listen to this, we could see major gas shortages this summer. As millions of people that have been stuck at home for more than a year are expected to travel for vacations this summer, and it's not because of a shortage of crude oil or gas in itself, but here it is, a shortage of tanker truck drivers that are needed to deliver the gas to the stations. So again, shortages. And it makes me wonder what's causing the shortage on lumber. Is it actual the lumber itself? Nope. Because listen, I talked to the builder of our subdivision, and he said it was not about materials. It's not about the shortage of wood. It's because, again, let me go back to what I said several weeks ago. If one individual gets COVID in the whole sawmill, we're talking about wood here. One individual gets COVID in the whole sawmill, they have to shut down the whole thing and sanitize it and clean it and quarantine people, and thus it stops production. And you can only do that so many times until, come on, everything gets so backed up that it cripples the industry. This, why do you think so many people, so many restaurants have shut down up in the north and the northeast? Because when you keep shutting down restaurants and shutting down businesses and shutting down gyms and shutting down, you know, whatever these things are, people, their whole livelihood shut down. And then they're just getting free checks. They're getting stimulus checks. They're getting X amount of dollars every month. So they don't have any desire to go back to work. There's no need to, because they can sit home and get a check. And thus, guys, listen, again, the train is slowing down on the tracks. The train of the world, the world's economy, the world's industries, everything is just slowing down. This report from the National Tank Truck Carriers, which is the industry's trade group, is revealing that somewhere between 20 to 25% of tank trucks in the fleet are not going to be in transit, but parked heading into the summer due to a lack, listen to this, of qualified drivers. Now, according to this report, quote, "We've been dealing with a driver shortage for a while, but the pandemic took that issue and metastasized it." This was according to Ryan Striblo, the executive vice president of the NTTC, quote, "It certainly has grown exponentially. We were even hauling boxes for Amazon just to keep our drivers busy." He went on to say that a lot of drivers didn't want to do the safety protocols. We're also working with an aging workforce. And many said, quote, "I might as well take it as a cue to retire." Quote, "It wasn't just the pandemic that caused the shortage, but also a new federal clearinghouse that went online at the beginning of this year in January of 2020, which is to identify truck drivers with prior drug or alcohol violations or failed drug tests." Listen to this, which reportedly knocked out 40,000 to 60,000 drivers alone. That's sad. That's extremely sad. He says the driver turnaround can run typically around 50% on an annual basis, but this has spiked roughly to 70% annually. So guys, we could talk about other industries, but I think we're getting the point. And I know, I mean, if I could have callers call in, you guys that represent different industries, represent the restaurant industry, represent the retail industry, represent, you know, just different industries, you could probably call in and you could probably expound on what you've seen, what you've heard, what you've experienced firsthand. And we could sit here for 2 hours on this program and discuss this and bring out the revelation of the reality of what we're dealing with. Now, where are we going? Where is this leading? Again, I believe that it is possible, guys, that this is all leading. I listened to one guy who's been doing this for years, and he said He said, listen, he gave a warning to all the carpenters and people that has to rely on lumber for their careers. And he said, if you actually expect, he said, even if things were to, quote, get back to normal, and that's a huge air quotes there, back to normal, whatever that looks like. He said, even if things were to get back to normal, he said, don't expect prices to ever drop to what they were previously before all this happened. He said, once we broke that threshold, can I explain it like this? Remember, listen, I'm 44 years of age. When I first started driving, when I was 16 years old, this is how I know I'm getting old, because I'm doing, I remember when I was about a young pup and I'd go to the movies and it was only $5 and I could get a large pizza for X amount of dollars and popcorn was it. I mean, we've all heard that. I've heard it from my parents and I heard it from my grandparents. And now I've officially crossed over to that place. And I remember when I was 16 that gas was 89 cents a gallon, 99 cents a gallon all day long, every gas station. I drove a little Nissan Sentra. I'm telling you, I could fill that thing up for $10 a gallon and run all weekend. But once, listen to me, once it crossed over $2, $3, $4, depending on where you live, $5 a gallon. It may have dropped a little bit, but it will never get back to that level of normality. Same way, again, by definition, that is what inflation is, right? That's why we can't get popcorn for a quarter anymore. That's why you can't go to the movies for a dollar anymore. That's why you can't find anything that cheap anymore. I mean, my goodness, you can't even get a haircut anymore. I remember when you could get a haircut for $10. Not anymore. Everything. Inflation. Somebody say inflation. Inflation, again, I believe is the welcome mat for the black horse and rider, because that's what's going to bring it on. Because remember, let me go back to the text of Revelation 6. The Bible says when the black horse and rider comes on the scene as one of the four horses of the apocalypse, Revelation 6, it says when the horse and rider appear on the scene, it will be so bad, inflation will be so bad, that a loaf of bread will cost a whole day's wages. And what's a whole day's wage? How much is that? I don't know. You tell me. What's the average whole day wage? I mean, we're talking, when I did a little bit of a study on this, the average, if we were to do an average, this is across the board nation, I mean, worldwide, it's somewhere between $50 to $80 for one loaf of bread. One loaf. That's how bad it will be. Now, when I was putting this together, I thought this came to my mind or my remembrance, and I remembered years ago, back in 2009, there was a man of God who I respect greatly. He went on to be with the Lord in 2011, but you've heard me say this. I deem this man to be a legitimate, real prophet of God. Now, I can't say that for many people today, and I don't want to get into all that, but I do believe there was and still is real prophets in the earth today. They're few and far between, but they are there. But one of these men was a man by the name of David Wilkerson. And because this is the question I get asked all the time. Well, what should we do to prepare ourselves? Well, I want to give you this urgent message that was released by David Wilkerson to all of his mailing list partners. And my dad, when he was still alive, my dad used to subscribe to David Wilkerson. And he used to get his newsletter. And this man, One of the most powerful men of God, and I could name many others that in my lifetime that have gone on to be with the Lord. Leonard Ravenhill was another one. Powerful men of God that's gone on to be with the Lord. In his newsletter marked an urgent message. This was published in March 7th of 2009. Some of you guys probably have this and you saved this or you're aware of and have an understanding of what I'm talking about. I want to read this quote. This is from David Wilkerson. I am compelled by the Holy Spirit to send out an urgent message to all on our mailing list and to friends and to bishops we have met all over the world. Quote, an earth-shattering calamity is about to happen. It's going to be so frightening and we are all going to tremble, even the godliest among us. Quote, for 10 years, I have been warning about 1,000 fires coming in New York City. It will engulf the whole megaplex, including areas of New Jersey and Connecticut. Major cities all across America will experience riots and blazing fires such as we saw and watched Los Angeles years ago. Guys, he said this in 2009. What? Talk to me, somebody. What's been happening last year, this year, the year before that, the year before that? Yes, riots, looting, fires, unrest, lawlessness. By the way, we just posted and published an article on our main website at End Time Headlines where they're warning that we could see even greater levels of this coming this summer. Yay! Aren't you excited? But nevertheless, Wilkerson warned in 2009, listen to this. I want to read this again. What we are experiencing now is not a recession, not even a depression. And he's blunt. He says, quote, we are under God's wrath. Even Psalm 11 is written, quote, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Quote, God is judging the raging sins of America and the nations. He is destroying the secular foundations. Now, listen to this. I want to read a little bit more. Quote, the prophet Jeremiah pleaded with the wicked Israel. God is fashioning a calamity against you and devising a plan against you. Oh, turn back each of you from your evil way and reform your ways and deeds. But they will say, quote, it's hopeless. For we are going to follow our own plans and each of us will act according to the stubbornness of his evil heart. That's Jeremiah 18, 11, and 12. And did you know the prophet said that the time would come that was then, but it's, I believe it has a dual meaning, a prophecy meaning it can be fulfilled in perpetual generations. He said the time would come when, because of the wickedness and the lawlessness of that day, that every man would do what is right in his own sight. And that's where we're at today. What's right is in my sight. What is truth is what I say it is. What is good is what I say it is. The prophet said the day would come when evil would be deemed good and good would be deemed evil. Now you tell me we're not in those days. Wilkerson went on to say that in Psalm 11, 6, David warns upon the wicked, he will rain snares and coals of fire. Burning wind will be the portion of their cup. And he questions here why. And Wilkerson answered, because the Lord is righteous. And this is a righteous judgment, just as in the judgments of Sodom and in the days of Noah. Now, here's the part I want to get to and emphasize in his newsletter in 2009. He wrote, quote, what shall the righteous do? What about God's people? Somebody say, what about God's people? Say, somebody say, what about me? What about my household? I want to read to you what Wilkerson said. Quote, first, I give you a practical word I received for my own direction. Here it is, and I underline this, and I want you to just really listen to me today for this. He said, quote, if possible, lay in store or lay aside a 30-day supply of non-perishable food, toiletries, and other essentials. Let me read that one more time. If possible, set aside a 30-day supply of non-perishable food, toiletries, and other essentials. Now you say, well, where's his faith? Well, where was Joseph's faith? when he was under Pharaoh, and Pharaoh had he had two back-to-back dreams, and both dreams were symbolic of a famine that was coming upon the land. And Joseph said the two dreams are one, meaning that it will shortly come to pass. And Joseph was instructed of the Lord to tell Pharaoh and to give him instructions, that he said that while things are good, to go ahead and lay aside and store up, for the 7 years of famine was upon us. I'm asking you that question. If it's about faith, then again, why would the Lord instruct Joseph to instruct Pharaoh what he did? Now, he went on to say, quote, in major cities, grocery stores are emptied in an hour at the sign of impending disaster. Now, that's not fear-mongering, that's truth. Guys, if you live up in New York City, or if you live in New Jersey and places like that, I'm telling you, it's not like it is down here in the South. Those people eat out like almost every meal. And their refrigerators are not stocked full of food. They're not doing that. It's the hustle bustle lifestyle. They're Wall Street brokers, they're business people. They don't even, you know, a lot of them, they walk to work, or they take cabs and they take bicycles. A lot of them don't even drive their car. So they're eating at restaurants on corners and this and that. So if a major calamity was to hit, they're not even prepared. I remember over 10 years ago or longer, there was a blackout that hit the East Coast up in New York and places like that. And it absolutely showed how unprepared people were on the East Coast. He goes on to say, as for our spiritual reaction, we have two options. Quote, he said, and it's outlined in Psalms 11, we flee like a bird to a mountain. Or as David says, he fixed his eyes on the Lord on his throne in heaven, his eyes beholding, his eyelids testing the sons of men. In the Lord I take refuge. And he goes on to say, quote, I will say to my soul, no need to run, no need to hide. This is God's righteous work. I will behold our Lord in his throne with his eyes of tender, loving kindness, watching over every step I take, trusting that he will deliver his people even through floods, fires, calamities, tests, trials of all kinds. And he goes on, let me read the last part of this. He said in his own letter, quote, I do not know when these things will come to pass, but I know it is not far off. Now I'm going to read you a verse of scripture from James chapter 5. And then I want to give you some practical advice that I feel like the Lord put it upon my heart, and then we're going to pray. Again, you've heard me say this in James chapter 5. It seems like there is a cryptic passage here that's dealing with the last days and absolutely deals with what I believe, again, is inflation and economic disaster. Let me read it. This is James chapter 5. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you, and will eat up your flesh like fire. Quote, you have heaped up treasures in the last days. So again, I believe this passage is dealing with the last days, or I believe it could absolutely parallel with Revelation 6, the black horse and its rider, and what's coming. I don't believe we're there now, but I believe we are seeing the breadcrumbs of this. We're seeing the footprints. We're hearing the hoof prints. We're seeing the precursors of this. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out, and the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. You have lived in the earth in pleasure and luxury, and you have fattened your hearts as in a day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the just. He does not resist you. Therefore, and then he shifts gears and speaks to the church. And listen to what he says. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. You know what I believe this coincides with? I believe this absolutely coincides with the book of Luke, chapter 21, 28. This says, when you begin to see these things come to pass, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. And you say, well, Brother Ricky, that's great news. Our redemption is drawing near. The coming of the Lord is at hand. The eastern sky is about to split. So why am I worried about it? Because again, it is common sense, guys. The prudent man sees the evil day coming and he prepares. Noah prepared an ark for the saving of his family and his household. We are responsible to do something on our behalf. Let me give you five practical things we can do. Number one, Joseph was instructed to store up extra food and water to be prepared for the coming famine. So guys, listen, practical speaking. Again, you've heard me say this. If you live in an earthquake zone, you need to be prepared accordingly. If you live in a tornado alley and the tornado zone, you probably should have somewhere that you can get totally underground. A storm cellar, an underground basement, whatever. If you live somewhere where there is active wildfires, it's probably a good idea to prepare accordingly. If you live in major cities, you need to prepare accordingly. Why do you think in the New Testament, in the Bible, Jesus warned about in Matthew 24, he said that there will be a time when people would flee from the cities and go into the mountains. I believe it's multifaceted. I don't believe it's just because of something like this, but I also believe that's where I believe the violence and all that comes into play as well. Why do you think people are exiting out of major cities? Because they see the evil day approaching. All right, so number two, listen to this. Have a plan in case of an emergency. Don't wait until an earthquake hits to call your loved ones and say, okay, meet me here or do this, or do you have a pillow and a blanket, and do you have an emergency kit, and do you have enough food, and do you have enough water? Don't wait until a tornado is a mile up the road to say, hey, where are we going to go? We don't have a basement. Can we go to Walmart? Can we go to the store? Can we go to a friend's basement? Guys, don't wait until the storm is in your backyard to prepare. You make a plan now. You set your family down and you say, look, in the event that this would happen or that would happen, or if this was to happen, here's the plan. If something happens and they shut off access for me to leave work, then I want you and the kids to go to X and Y and Z. And you wait there, take this, take that, have the bug. It's called, get a bug out bag. And you say, what in the world is a bug out bag? A bug out bag is you get a backpack, you put essentials in there. You put things you can survive with, things you put non-perishable food in there, MREs. You put water in there. You put survival kits in, a medical kit. You put those things in that bag. So in the event that you have to drop and go and run, do it. Keep extra gasoline in your garage if you have to, so you can fill up your vehicle if you have to get out of town. Guys, these are practical things. Okay. Number three, have some cash on hand and small bills. It would never hurt to have small bills laying around, fives, ones, tens, twenties, because guys, again, if something was to happen, bam, power grid goes out. You can't swipe a card. You can't use Apple Pay from your phone. So again, it would be a good idea, again, practically, to have this. Number four, this is, and I'm going to shift to spiritual things. Prepare your household like Noah did. Now, today is the day of salvation. Now's the time to prepare your house. Now's the time to lead your family to the Lord. Now's the time more than ever to be a witness, to be salt, to be light, to be living examples to them, to tell them, look what's going on around you. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but we are living in the times of perilous times that the Apostle Paul warned about. Perilous times would be upon us. And it's time to prepare. It's time to get right with God. It's time to stop playing games. And then lastly, I would advise you, make a covenant with God in your finances. What does that mean? Listen, you say, well, I don't believe in tithing. Listen, I believe I would not be, with everything that's going on right now with the economy, I am just very thankful that it's for me and my household, we've made a covenant with God with our finances. Why is that? Because I can show you scripture after scripture after scripture where God will honor those who have honored him and have a covenant with him. Let me give you a verse of scripture. Psalms 37, 25 through 26 says, I have been young. The psalmist said, I have been young and now I'm old, and I have yet to seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. For the Lord is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. Come on. In other words, come on. The writer understood that when I seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, he said, all these things shall be added unto me. I'm telling you, if we lived in a time of the children of Israel that was in captivity to Egypt, and when they were being led out, think about it, guys, for a moment. Think about what they were seeing. Plagues, locusts, frogs, darkness, cattle dropping dead, sicknesses, the children dropping dead, all these things. Darkness was in Egypt, but it was light in Goshen. Their kids were okay in Goshen. Their cattle were spared in Goshen. The death angel went over them. Why? Because they made a covenant with God in everything that they had. She said, well, Brother Ricky, what am I going to do about my job? What am I going to do about my career? What am I going to do? Listen, I'm telling you, I don't know about you. I can't speak for you. But when I lay my head down at night, I sleep in peace knowing that it is him. Come on. It is the God who owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He owns the silver and gold, and the earth is and the fullness thereof is his. He owns it all. How much more is he going to take care of those who are in covenant with him? So I believe with all my heart, guys, we are heading into perilous times. Bible tells us this. I believe we are on the doorstep, I believe, of these things that we've read about, we've heard about, we've talked about for years. We're right there. We're heading from the birth pangs. And I'm telling you, and I know I get a lot of flack from this, but I believe the next major event that's going to happen, and I know many of you may not believe this, but I believe there's coming an event that has been foretold that we've never seen, but God has had practice in this. And that is, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, there's coming a voice as the voice of an archangel and the trumpet of God, and it's going to sound, and God's going to stand over the banister of heaven, and he's going to say, come up hither, or come up here, and the church is going to go from here to there, and then the church age will come to an end, and then we will enter into the very things that we've been talking about for years and years and years. Listen, guys, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Again, always, guys, I want to thank you for jumping on to the broadcast today. And we want to give you an opportunity to keep up with our ministry. You can do that by going to our main website, again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. You can click on the, there's a subscribe button. Please click on that. Subscribe to our main website. There you can catch up and keep up with all of our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. You'll get one digest in your inbox every single day as well. And again, If you've not yet downloaded our free app, please take the time to do that after this broadcast. Go to your Apple Store or your Google Play Store. Download it. Again, it's free. Get it into your hands. Keep up with our ministry. Keep up with our podcast. Keep up with our news and headlines. You'll keep up with all that right there in your hands for your convenience with the free app. So as always, guys, we want to give you that opportunity to do that. And if you'd like to support this ministry with a gift of any amount, if you'd like to partner with us, we want to give you the opportunity. You can do that by, again, going to the app. You can go to the app right there, or you can go on to the main website and give electronically. There's, it gives you two locations right there on your screen to do that. And or you can give by check or money order, and you can make that out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. And you say, well, why do I need to partner with End Time Headlines? Guys, again, everything we do is free. Our podcasts are free. Our YouTube channel is free. Our messages are free. Our newsletters are free. Our app is free. Our articles are free. Everything is absolutely free. Because I know there's somebody out there saying, well, Brother Ricky, I am in dire straits. I can't afford to partner. I can't afford to give anything. Listen, then there's no condemnation. We still want you to be part. We want you to get the app, still read our articles, still listen to our message. We want you blessed by our ministry. This is not an obligation. What we're saying is, you know who you are, and if God has blessed you and he's given you a revelation of giving and receiving and coming into covenant with him and helping other ministries and helping support the ministries that feed you and equip you and edify you and inform you, then we're speaking to that audience. And that's why we always say, give according to what the Lord puts upon your heart, and you can't go wrong with that. That's how we do. Listen, every penny we get that comes into this ministry, we tithe it. We support the poor, the widow, the needy, the orphans, our local church, and we're helping spread the gospel as well. It's a constant reciprocal process of giving and receiving and sowing and reaping. So as always, guys, we want to pray real quick for you before we close this broadcast. Father, I thank you for every individual under the sound of my voice today, behind this microphone, behind this camera, or both. Lord, if there's individuals that are listening and say, watching us today, Lord, and they're feeling the stress of this economy, this inflation, the pandemic, the surging prices, these things, they've lost their job. Maybe they've been unemployed. They've lost their business, whatever the case may be. We ask that your grace, your mercy, your love, and Father, your word would be released over their life. I'm asking, Father, that you would open doors, you would open opportunities, that you would promote, that you'd bless, and that you would fulfill the desires of their heart. I pray that you would bring supernatural provision. Lord, you brought the children of Israel manna from heaven. You told the Moses to tell the people to speak to a rock, and it would provide water for them to drink. Lord, you are a supernatural God. And we thank you that you're the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And Lord, I thank you that you're a God that can take a loaf of bread and some fish and multiply it and feed 5,000, not including women and children. God, how much more shall you do to those who walk uprightly and that are in covenant with you? And Father, we thank you today, and we praise you today, and we ask it today in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. God bless you guys. We're going to take off tomorrow. We'll be back on here on Wednesday. We'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.